Let's talk to the Hall of Famer. He joins us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. He is a man who needs no introduction, but I'll do it nevertheless. Chipper Jones with us on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Chipper, good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
We're doing well. We will get to Marcelo Zuna, Austin Riley, the Hall of Fame vote. Again, perhaps are you gainfully or do you have an opportunity to become gainfully employed at some point if you choose? But we do have to really, in all seriousness, your thoughts as what's gone on for the last couple of months in and around baseball with the Houston Astros, the Boston Red Sox are on the clock. What was your takeaway initially, and what are you thinking now?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if it goes a little past the, you know, the Boston Red Sox. You know, stuff from what I'm hearing, you know, through back channels is, you know, this was not relegated to these two teams. You know, you heard Carlos Beltran, you know, kind of sort of be on record through second, third person that you know, everybody is doing this. I can assure you everybody is not. But it's eerily similar to the PED crisis, you know, a while back. A lot of people saying a lot of different things, but until, you know, the players come out and give us some kind of definite opinion on, you know, what was going on behind the scenes, we'll never really know.
So if you're a veteran on this team, I don't expect you to speak for Brian McCann. I know you won't anyway, but Brian's, I think, going to have to talk about this sooner or later. If you're a veteran in that situation, how does Chipper Jones handle a situation like that, knowing that blatant cheating is going on?
Well, first and foremost, if it would have never happened on my watch, it would have never happened on Bobby Cox's watch. That's the way we were wired. But you're right. I think, you know, one conclusion I think we can draw is that everybody in that clubhouse was complicit in that the fact that they knew what was going on and probably didn't do enough to squelch it. And for that, you know, I think you're gonna see some players come forward and apologize and try and get out in front of it. And, you know, that's probably going to happen here, you know, in spring training. And I think, you know, as far as Brian goes, we have exchanged very little conversation since this all happened. And certainly no details have, you know, he's brought none of that to light to me. He certainly doesn't owe it to me. I'm not going to press him for it. No matter what his involvement was, Brian McCann still is, always will be, one of my best friends and one of my favorite teammates. And, you know, while it's a little disappointing, my image of him does not change. I know the fraternity, the peer pressure that goes along with, you know, a big league clubhouse. And it's very unfortunate that he was in that situation. But there are a lot of guys that have been put in a pretty difficult spot that they didn't say no to. And now, you know, we'll just wait to hear from them.
You mentioned it wouldn't happen on your watch. If you get an idea that this is being set up, talked about, you and I have had conversations about, do you want, look, everybody would love location. Everybody would love an ability, but there are certain guys who just go, you're not going to help me. I want to do this on my own. I trust myself, but not everybody's a 305 lifetime hitter. I mean, you also understand the reality of that.
Well, I was of the belief that, you know, I have 8 or 9 opportunities during the course of a game to directly affect the outcome of that game. My 4 or 5 at-bats during the course of the game and my 3 or 4 or 5 plays in the field. And I was not going to trust someone else with my at-bats. You know, that was mine. So if somebody was tipping, I would do my homework. I would make sure that I could see it. I wouldn't rely on somebody else to relay it to me. So whenever, you know, say a guy, you know, we had guys on base and a guy was in the stretch and he had the ball behind his back and we could tell what kind of grip he was getting before he went to his glove, that would tip off what was coming. And most guys, some guys would want to know, if that pitch was coming. I trusted me more than anyone else, and that was just the way it was going to be. If I could see it, I would help myself, but I would not rely on another teammate to relay it to me.
All right. Not asking for anybody else, asking for you specifically. If you had to go to spring training as a member of the Astros, have you thought about what you would have to say? Because if you're there and you know, look, there are certain guys in every club that people go to. If you're the guy, you're the guy. Good times, bad times. Have you given yourself a minute to think about what you'd say?
Yeah, I have. I put myself in that situation. I have stood up in front of this fan base and apologized for past mistakes, you know? So, but I think, you know, you standing up in front of everybody and being contrite, and I mean, you know, to the point where it's overboard, contrite and apologetic and assure everybody that, hey, this is squashed, this will never happen again. You know, we're out there, we're ashamed, and we just want to go play baseball again. That's really all you can say, to be honest with you. I know everybody wants somebody's head on a stick. Everybody, you know, doesn't want this to end. They want, you know, players punished and all this kind of stuff. But ultimately, that's how I would handle it as a the guy out front.
The Dodgers seem to be the loudest about, or at least Congress and whoever the hell is their Senate, their state. The politicians
around L.A.
I don't know who the hell's saying what.
They want their World Series trophies, Chipper.
So as a player, if you thought you were humped when you only have a finite number of abilities and years to be a champion, what if you found out that somebody in your past, the team that you were playing against, did something like this and you go, hold on, I'm thinking about this now. They might have just robbed me of something that changes my legacy, if that's a word that's okay.
Oh, I'd be pissed. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's supposing that everything that we did was on the up and up. And I'm not accusing anybody else, but I'm saying, you know, as long as we were doing it on the up and up, and, you know, two teams that we faced in the World Series beat us and were proved to have not done it the right way. Yeah, I would be hacked off myself.
You know what's crazy? Terry Pendleton was in here months ago, and he talked about the whole air conditioning thing, the fans in Minnesota.
Terry Pendleton, yeah.
He says flat out, no doubt in his mind that was happening. During
somebody
those
that
games.
Worked there admitted it to him.
Yeah, it's every look. Hey, at Wrigley Field, do you think back in the day when the St. Louis Cardinals came into town and they were stealing God knows how many bases in a season with, you know, Willie McGee, Vince Coleman, Ozzie Smith, Tommy Herr, all these guys are stealing 40, 50, 75, 100 bases. You think that they didn't soup up, you know, put a little extra water down around first base to soup it up so those guys couldn't get traction taken off from first base? Heck yeah. It's just little things like that that might give you a little bit of a competitive edge. This right here, what we're talking about here is going well beyond, like 50 yards, 100 yards beyond, you know, a little bit of a competitive edge.
Hall of Famer Chipper Jones with us. Let's talk about the Braves. How much, when all is said and done, do you think the team is going to miss Josh Donaldson?
I'll be the first to admit Josh Donaldson is a lot better player than I thought he was. I was very impressed with him last year, especially defensively. I knew he was a pretty good offensive player, but I had no idea how good he was defensively. Look, he's going to be missed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I think, you know, the Braves did a really good job of replacing his production offensively. You look at his offensive numbers, you know, 30-plus homers and, I don't know, 90-plus RBIs hitting in the four hole behind those three studs hitting in front of him. I think Ozuna is going to do at least that offensively. You know, it just remains to be seen what Ozuna gives you defensively. I don't know what the defensive metrics on him are in left field. And obviously, we know Johan Camargo, if given enough playing time consistently, can hold down the fort. Is he a Josh Donaldson? No. Is Austin Riley ready for full-time action at third base? I believe at some point this year we're going to find out, and hopefully we get more of the first 6 weeks of Austin Riley than the last couple months.
I don't know if you can explain a strikeout rate and a swing and miss, and I don't know if you'll spend a little time. I don't know if they've asked you to. I don't know who, you know, not stepping on Seitz's toes or even the young man's toes, but spring really means something for both of those guys. I know they don't count, and it's going to be 0-0 on game one. But Riley and Camargo are going to have a spotlight on them in spring. Their minds better be right.
Yeah, it's going to be a big spring for both of them. It's going to be, you know, they're in serious competition. I don't know if what the plans are as far as I'd like to see one or the other go out and win the job. Mm-hmm. You know, I really don't want to see a platoon over there at third base. I think one or the other needs to play, you know, the majority of the time. But, you know, certainly Johan gives you some versatility in that he can play multiple positions and he's a switch hitter. But Austin Riley's a little better athlete than I gave him credit for coming in. He's made himself, he's gotten himself into shape, and hopefully they both come into spring willing to, you know, prepared to make a significant contribution.
Real quick, come July, you're going to have a couple of new teammates, Ted Simmons, Marvin Miller, and we have never really talked about Marvin Miller. It's long overdue for him. But in Jeter and Walker, thoughts on those two guys?
Studs. Jeet's probably one of my best friends that I never played with. I got a chance to play with him for Team USA a couple times, and we had a blast together. Larry Walker, one of the true characters, a true five-star player, guy could do it all, hit for average, power, howitzer in right field, could run, steal bases, and a great teammate, so from what I hear. So it looks like the Hall of Fame is getting two pretty good guys coming in this summer.
Chipper, we talked about Andrew Jones and the Hall of Fame possibilities. Does it work against him? Was he too good at times? We've talked about this before. Explain to people how he would make catches that looked routine, that were anything but routine.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, you almost get penalized for making the game look too easy. You know, and I think sometimes people thought he was loafing because the game came so easy to him. He's quite simply the best center fielder I've ever seen, and that includes, you know, I know there's some Griffey lovers out there, and Griffey's was a fine center fielder, but I saw this every day. The guy was, you know, phenomenal for a decade. And I think, you know, what happened after that decade kind of soured people, but, you know, 10 straight gold gloves, 430 plus homers, 1200 RBIs. I mean, those are some pretty unbelievable stats. You know, and hardware that is kind of going unnoticed, but he had a pretty good jump this year, and hopefully next year with some of the, you know, maybe the first ballot guys next year, the class coming in is not as strong as it has been in the past few years. Maybe some of the guys who are on their third, fourth, fifth tries to get in will make significant jumps.
Fred McGriff,
probably the most consistent player that is not in the Hall of Fame of all time. You know, I mean, you could ink him in for 30 homers, you know, probably hit you 280 to 290 with 30 homers and 100 RBIs. I mean, if you do that for 15 to 20 years, I don't know. I don't understand how they can keep you out of the Hall of Fame.
All right, before we let you go, you going up to Bristol? You doing some work with ESPN? Break it here.
I am meeting with ESPN this morning here in Atlanta. They came to me, actually, and so we're going to sit down and see what they have to say.
I can say that I have been offered a part-time gig by the Fox affiliate here with the Braves. So I'm just weighing all the options right now. Obviously, you guys know how important my my personal time is to me, so they're going to have to make it worth my while, and we'll see what happens.
Smart man. Got to have leverage.
Just bring those stories. Have them all in your back pocket when you meet with these guys today. Just give them the funny. They love that Maddox story on the first game thing. They love that stuff.
Don't tell the man how to do his job.
I'll keep that one up my sleeve until I need it close.
All right, Chipper, thanks for the time. Good luck with everything, and we'll talk real soon.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Chip.
Chipper Jones, Hall of Famer, joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.